Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media, and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life, and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
That's right. The show goes on. Sports Radio 94 WIP. It is Buzz with you. Louis Coco is behind the glass. 215-592-9494. That is the number. How you hop aboard. Happy to be with you here on a Saturday morning, filling in for Devin Caney and Ruben Amaro Jr. Happy Saturday. Cold, wet fall Saturday out there. Marathon weekend here in Philadelphia, a little bit of extra traffic getting in. So if you're driving in and around the city, especially in the area of the Ben Franklin Parkway, be sure to leave yourself some extra time. If you are indeed running the half marathon today or the full marathon tomorrow, or you are supporting someone, you know, best of luck, one and all. Maybe there's even someone out there right now running the half marathon. I think it kicked off about an hour ago, who's actually listening to WIP instead of music, that Rocky music getting them fired up. Maybe they're just, you know, listen to us talk a little ball. Would love to be the soundtrack of your marathon or half marathon pursuit. And we got a lot to get into over the course of the next 2 hours, the 2 hour Saturday morning sprint here. We got a football game tomorrow, 4:25, Eagles Cowboys in Dallas, prime time, America's game of the week on Fox. How could you not get excited? And there is only one topic to talk about here in Philadelphia this week, and that's the offense. That is the Eagles' offense. I said it last night on the show. I'll say, for anyone who was with me last night from 6 to 10, and I'll say it again. Like, there is only, sometimes there are weeks where you just don't overthink it. Sometimes there are shows you just don't overthink it. There is one thing that everybody wants to talk about. It is this offense. And there are two schools of thought right now. There's the a win is a win crowd. I don't care how it looks. Get me a 2-0 win tomorrow in Dallas. I'll be happy. And then there's the other crowd of like, no, I need to see this offense pick it up a little bit. I need to see this team actually put something on paper, put something on screen for us on a Sunday that makes us feel like this offense is good enough to go back-to-back and win yet another Super Bowl. So my question last night was kind of which camp were you in more. My question here this morning at 215-592-9494, I want to ask people, what do you think is more likely? What is more likely? Use your crystal ball here this morning. Fast forward tomorrow, 4:25. What is more likely tomorrow's Eagles-Cowboys game? The offense shuts everybody up for a week, or we have another ugly win, or God forbid, a loss, and this city enters full panic mode on Monday. Want to know where everybody stands at 215-592-9494. I actually think it's more likely that the offense plays well tomorrow. I do. For people who heard me last night, I said that I would not be happy with an ugly win tomorrow. I think this is a week where, at least temporarily, the Eagles' offense shuts everybody up. And yes, I understand the Cowboys' defense is not strong. It is not good. And it will still it won't shut up everything because that defense is bad and you're supposed to show up in weeks like this. But if I know this Eagles team like I think I know them, this is where Jalen Hurts and this offense show up big. He'll sit down at the podium tomorrow night around 8 o'clock. He'll ask everybody if this is what they wanted to see. Kind of reeks a little bit of that Pittsburgh game last year. If they win another 10-7 or 16-9 game against this atrocious Dallas defense, this Eagles team would make it too easy for all of us to say the offense sucks. Sure, there will still be some a-win-is-a-win holdouts. There will still be some people who claim they didn't care and have to uphold that lie to themselves the next day on Monday and say, yeah, I told you on Friday I didn't care if it was a 2-0 win, and I'm upholding that. But the majority of people, it would be way too easy, both locally and nationally, to say, all right, this team couldn't score in a dome against the, you know, the league worst defense. Maybe it's time to start sounding the alarm bells. Maybe this offense is not any good at all. That would be too easy. What's far more likely, if I know this Eagles team, is they'll show up, they'll run all over the Cowboys. Maybe Sirianni will give us a little, it's hard to win games in this league. Jalen Hurts will have a little bit of a, you know, is that what you wanted to see, smirk in the post-game press conference. And then we get to debate for a week how much value to actually put in it because it was against the Dallas Cowboys. That's obviously what's going to happen tomorrow. That is obviously what's going to happen tomorrow. Again, if I feel like I know this Eagles team, and I think that I do, that's what I see tomorrow. That I see an offense that has been kind of pushed up against the wall, both locally, both nationally, both within their own locker room. I feel like this is the type of game where they respond. I feel like this is the type of game where the offense shows up, scores. I'm not going to say they're going to go off 40 points or anything like that, but a respectable number of points, high 20s, maybe even to the 30s. That's what I'm feeling tomorrow. I think it's more likely that happens tomorrow. I want to know if people agree. 215-592-9494. If you listen to me on the station last night or on the station this week while I was producing Broads, Tom Kelly, Fritz at 6, I've been very clear that this current iteration of the Eagles offense, meaning in particular the one we saw these past 2 weeks, is not sustainable for a team in pursuit of a Super Bowl. This is not a sustainable offense to try and go win a championship. But we do know the capability can be there on a given day. I would suspect the average person would probably be surprised to know that this team is actually league average in points per game right now. If you take the totality of the 10 games they've played, you're not factoring in what opponents they did it against, they're league average in points per game, right? No further context. It's not something you necessarily celebrate when you're 8-2 and you're the NFC 1 seed and you're looking to repeat as the Super Bowl champions, but that number reflects days like Jalen's perfect passer rating in Minnesota, the beatdown of the Giants, a good first half in Tampa, a comeback second half against the Rams. Right, their league average in rush yards, their bottom quarter of the league in pass yards. That's more concerning. But I don't think the pass game, at least eye test wise, is that much worse than it was a year ago. I think the run game has taken a huge step back, and therefore they're getting off the field quicker because they're not picking up first downs. Drives are a lot shorter, and they're scoring a lot fewer points. And that is because of the offensive line. That's because of the Saquon Barkley, it's because of some of the play calling. It's also because of Jalen Hurts and the passing offense, which those issues existed a season ago, but they are getting masked a lot less frequently in the year 2025. I'm not here to sugarcoat what's been a disappointment, but a good game can be there on a given day. A good game has been there against poor defenses, and the Cowboys are the worst defense this team will face all year. I believe that on a given day, this offense can look pretty good. This offense has fooled us on given days, or maybe even for a half. That's a pretty good possibility tomorrow, too. First half looks a little, they'll have a great first drive. They seem to do great on the first 15. They'll be slow the rest of the half. And then the second half, they'll put up a respectable score. I could see that happening tomorrow. I could completely see that happening tomorrow. But I do think this is all setting up for a Monday morning reaction where we all say, you know what, the offense showed up. It was against the Cowboys defense. Now do it against a real defense. Now do it against a playoff defense. Now do it in a bigger spot than that. I think that's what we're headed for here. I do think the offense shows up tomorrow. And I want to get people's kind of predictions on this game. We will get, Lewis and I will both give our score predictions at the end of the show. I want to get a feel for where people are at with this one at 215-592-9494. And the last thing here, before I get Lewis's thoughts and we go to the phones, is if there is one thing that I think this team does better than anything else, or better maybe than anyone else in the Nick Sirianni era, it's finding ways to win. But it's not just that. It's finding ways to win in spite of the noise. And Lewis, I know I forgot to tell you this before the show, but if we could cue up the Jordan Mailata audio here. Jordan Mailata, I believe this was with his call-in to the afternoon show this week. Just give me a thumbs up when you have it ready. I believe this was during his call-in to the afternoon show this week. And, of course, he's getting asked about the noise. He's getting asked about the offensive noise. Of course, he's getting asked about all of the offensive struggles that this team has faced week in and week out, and how that impacts the locker room. And here's what Jordan Mailata had to say.
Yeah, all that noise is again, great for us because we just bundle together and stay close and tighten it. But the team morale is great. We're all trying to, you know, stick together. We are sticking together, and we're trying to find ways to keep improving and keep executing at a high rate. You know, and execute that game plan that we install during the week, so we can help contribute to the wins.
If there's ever been a team where that's actually true, where the drama is good for a locker room, or the noise is good, it's this Eagles team. I don't know if that's a common, you know, Nick Sirianni or Jalen Hurts just actually doesn't pay attention to that stuff as much as any modern day athlete or whatever. But it does feel like that when they've been in this situation before, we found ourselves in the situation, you know, it's great from a sports radio content perspective. All the team does is win, but have drama and noise at the same time. It's like what the Cowboys dream to be, frankly, a soap opera who actually wins Super Bowls at the same time. Most teams can't figure out that balance. Most teams are either boring and they win, or there's a lot of drama and they lose. The Eagles are the best of both worlds. And usually when drama like this happens, this team rises to the occasion. This offense rises to the occasion. This is where Jalen Hurts actually lets some of that stuff in, and he rises to the moment and has a big game. And whenever the biggest compliment I can give Jalen Hurts is that whether it's a big game like the NFC Championship or the Super Bowl last year, or again, I said this reached the Steelers spot last season, it feels like when everyone is just ready to give up on him and this offense and officially turn the page and say this, like everyone's on board with saying this offense sucks, that or he sucks, that's when he rises to the moment best. And that's when Nick Sirianni channels all that drama, some of it coming from within that own locker room, and this team steps up and has a big game. That's kind of what this smells like tomorrow. And again, the noise is coming from the outside, but sometimes it's from the inside. He's a coach that seems to have the emotional pulse of that locker room, and he knows when to channel that energy. And right, and you know, some locker rooms would fall in the face of adversity. Some historically crumble following a week of leaks and finger-pointing. I don't think that's the case here. I think for the they just find a way to win crowd, scoring a lot of points may actually be necessary in terms of winning tomorrow's game in Dallas. That the Cowboys offense is pretty good, and as good as this Eagles defense has been, you can't expect them to hold teams to 7 points or 9 points or whatever, the you know, single digits every given week. They might actually score in double digits tomorrow. You might be in a little bit more of an offensive shootout. Doesn't necessarily favor the Eagles. I do expect the Eagles to win this game. I think they need to show up tomorrow, not just in terms of getting a win, to shut everybody up, to prove to themselves they still have it. And I think that they will. I think that is a far more likely scenario than them winning another slogfest like we've seen the past 2 weeks. 215-592-9494. That is the number. How you hop aboard. What is more likely tomorrow? The offense shuts everybody up for a week, or this city is in full panic mode on Monday morning? We'll go to the phones in just a second. Lewis Coco, as you sit here a day before the game, shake that crystal ball. What does this offense look like tomorrow?
Yeah, I think it is more of a shutting everybody up, but I have this sinking feeling inside of me that when we go to Dallas, it doesn't always go well.
Historically, it doesn't. They got their first win there last year in 7 years. And Dak Prescott was not the starting quarterback that day. He's never lost a home game, a home division game when he's been playing.
Yeah, I mean, stupid stat like that. It's like unbelievable.
Yeah, but like in like a pretty large sample, like he's been hurt a bunch, but like in a large sample size, this guy's been in the league since 2016.
Right. So I have a sinking feeling that we'll win the game, but it's just not going to look pretty. And I think
so. You think it's full panic, Mike?
I think. Yeah.
If it doesn't look pretty, it's going to get panicking. More.
Yeah, so I think we'll probably be panicking tomorrow.
You'll get more. The people Monday. Who I suspect, if the offense does not look good tomorrow, which is a possibility, I think it's more likely that it won't happen, but it's still there. I would say that there'll still be some holdouts of like the win is a win people. They'll be like, I told you, just win 2-0, just find a way to win every week. I don't care, we're the one seed.
Yeah, that was the guy on Fritz at 6 on Thursday.
Ridiculous.
Are you joking me?
Well, listen, if it's the Super Bowl, fine. If it's a playoff game, whatever. When it's week 12 against the Cowboys and you're going to coast to an NFC East win.
Against a bad defense.
Against like the league's worst defense? No, you should probably put up some more points
right.
than that. I think you'll see people, quite a large chunk of those people who are saying that, slide over to, all right, they couldn't do it against this team. When's it going to change? And they might be lying to themselves. They might try to lie to themselves. But deep down, they'll be like, this could be a problem down the road.
I hope I hope they just blow them out. That's obviously what I
would
want. Of course,
we all want that.
Right. But if it doesn't happen, I really hope people come to their senses and realize, oh, this is not
here.
Sustainable.
There's a problem.
People
here.
Are at me on Twitter. Well, it wins. No. Like there is clearly something wrong here. Why is WIP blowing this all out of proportion? We're not blowing it out of proportion.
Not just
we're
WIP.
Reacting as fans. And it's also not just WIP.
Correct.
But reacting as fans. That's what we do here.
Absolutely right. 215-592-9494. That's the number. How you hop aboard. Let's kick it off with Dennis in Newtown. Wants to talk about this game tomorrow. What's up, Dennis?
Hey, Dan. How you doing?
Doing great.
You're kind of working hard, aren't you? Doubling back after yesterday.
It's the best job in the world. I'm happy to do it.
I know. Hey, I think tomorrow, I think the offense looks a little better. But I'll get back to that in a minute, but I think this is a really nice test for our defense. If we can get the same kind of push from our front four, we should be able to shut the passing, or at least minimize the damage of the passing game they have.
Right. It's a bit of a self-inflicted revenge spot for Jalen Carter based upon his own doing.
Right.
This defense has played great the past couple of weeks. You're right. It's another test for them because the Cowboys have some offensive weapons, but they've been up to just about every test this year, especially lately.
Absolutely. But I'm looking forward to seeing it because they'll be tested as we move forward. I don't expect the offense to like virtually overnight change. And, you know, we got aerial attacks everywhere on the field, down the middle, deep outs, wheel routes. I don't expect that happens in a week. I expect them to improve. But, you know, I guess the way I look at this is I'm not even thinking about past games. I'm thinking about this game. And I think the team has the same kind of thought process. I think Sirianni's good about that. There's no doubt something's wrong there. There's no doubt. But I don't think we're going to figure it out tomorrow. I think we'll score more points because we have to. I think on Monday morning, honestly, I'm going to be honest. You know, I think you and I talked about this before, Dan, but, you know, I'm a product of the 60s where when we woke up on Sunday morning, we knew the Eagles were going to lose. We just didn't know by how much. So a team at 8-2 at this part of the season, I think some fans have been spoiled over the years. I'm not. I feel good about that. And, you know, I think what we'll see on Monday and all the talk shows, not just yours, I call it the real fans of Philadelphia. It's like a real housewife's kind of a thing. A lot of drama, and it feeds the drama. Last point I'll make, and I don't think this is fair, but I think, you know, they had to do it. You know, it's interesting that Jordan, you played Mailata's soundbite there, but there was another part of it where they actually played, you know, D-Gun's comments. And I just don't know what you want to gain from that, Dan. You're not going to get one Eagle to say, oh, yeah, he's right. Yeah, it's this one that turned him in. I don't know what that gains from a
you, when you say you don't know what a game, like a player leaking stuff to the media you're talking about?
Yeah, No, like, did you think Jordan Mailata is going to say, "Oh yeah, we have, I know who it is"? Like, why do you play that? You don't even.
Not asking. Do you think you know who it is? But more so, like, how does the team respond to it? Everyone in that locker room probably has a guess, whether they admit it or not, to who it is. But beyond that, like, they're still all hearing the noise, and some locker rooms crumble, and some locker rooms rise to the moment.
Yeah,
and actually, historically, this one rises to it.
Yeah, this locker room's not going to. So I think I think the Eagles got to score more points tomorrow. I think it's kind of be like a, I'm going to say 31-28 kind of a game. So that's my view of the world.
If they score 31 points, Dennis, and I appreciate the call, say that's enough to temporarily shut everybody up. He said, I don't think the offensive problems will be fixed tomorrow. I don't think there's any scenario where they're all fixed tomorrow. They could score up short of scoring 100 points tomorrow. I think we'll all still have questions about who they did it against and whether this is a repeatable thing or how consistently can they do it and can they do it against a defense who's better. But we all react to the game we most recently saw. I think they can put a cold, you know, wet blanket on some of the noise for at least a week by having a good offensive game tomorrow. And I believe that will happen.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Black Friday? More like Black Fry, yay. Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
The more and more I've thought about this game, the closer we get to it, it feels like that's the script this team generally tends to follow under the, you know, Hurts, during the Jalen Hurts era, during Nick Sirianni's era. It feels like more often than not, with the exception of the tail end of that 23 season, that's usually what happens here. 215-592-9494. Let's get in Herb and Mount Laurel before the break. What's up, Herb?
Hey, thank you for taking a call.
Of course.
What I wanted to do with my time is, I was talking to my neighbor the other day who played 9 years in the NFL. He played fullback. One of the things in the previous...
Who's your neighbor? Anyone would know?
It was our conversation. Let's leave it. I just want to get to a point. Okay, and it really just... The last caller said it. In a way, we're spoiled because in the Super Bowl, we started 21 of our 22 players. Our right tackle is 35 years old with a Liz Frank. Don't even know if he can play at all this year. The guy's coming in is a decent player, but he's not Lane Johnson. Our right guard is gone, who was a monster last year, pancaking people right and left. The guy replacement's a nice player, nowhere near. Our center had an operation on his back, and as you can see, it's not healed because he came back fast, and same with the left guard, who's a beast. He's not a beast now because he had an operation. His knee is not going to get better probably to the end of the year, and Mailata is off, and our depth is now trying to fill in. Our offensive line is nowhere near healthy-wise, not bumped and banged, injured. And people don't understand. The orthopedic guys tell you, you have to heal up till you get to the point where you can build up. And that's not going to happen this year. So the second thing is, how do we adjust? We've got to adjust and scheme around a little more West Coast stuff, ball out quick. We can't do longer drops, and we can't run the ball because the stats show you we're hitting in the backfield rather than 3.8 yards past the line of scrimmage. That's huge. That ain't changing. What are we going to do to survive that? Because these guys, as I say, they're not walking through the door, and the guys walking through the door now are hurt or not there. How do we fix this? Because this is a reality. Please don't tell me about the offense, good or bad. We don't have the offensive line capability in reality. No. So fans, how do we fix and work around that? Because it ain't going to get fixed until they get healthy after the season.
Herb,
I agree
like almost wholeheartedly with just about everything you said. The offensive line
our biggest problem. They're great, but they're hurt.
It is a huge problem, and it's probably the largest reason why the run game. I'm not going to tell you that Saquon Barkley would have had a 2,000 yard season again, but it's probably the largest reason why the run game hasn't been what it's been. Now, you know, I'm listening to Brian Baldinger on the afternoon show, and he's given all these numbers about how Lane Johnson still hasn't technically gotten beat this year, and how he was playing well until he obviously had this Liz Frank situation. Now we're going to see a lot more of Fred Johnson. Like, I do think it's a ripple effect of things based upon that offensive line. Like, all right, the offensive line's banged up and not as dominant, so therefore the run game's not as good, and now more relies on the passing game, and the passing game's pretty close to the same that it was a year ago. And it's kind of like a domino effect impacting it. But no, you're right. Like, the biggest difference between this year and last year starts with that offensive line.
Right, but we've got to scheme around to create some advantages that we no longer have. And I will tell you this, we were talking about Saquon. We both laughed at this notion that he lost a step. And the reason was, we were laughing a couple of plays this year when he got past the line of scrimmage, he outran the corners and they couldn't close. They could not close at all. And he's a 230-plus pound back. He has not lost anything. Our line is just too injured. So going forward, fans, how do we scheme around to help the offense? How do we do it?
I got you, Herb, and I appreciate the call. That's the million-dollar question if you're Nick Sirianni and Kevin Petullo. If there was an answer to that, I'm sure they would have figured it out by now, or if they knew the answer to it, I'm sure they would have figured it out by now. I think this is where it falls on the quarterback, right? Like, I do think, I not to have the Jalen Hurts conversation that's been had a million times, but like, this is where Jalen Hurts's limitations, I'll say, and that's not a word to rip on him. It's just the reality of the situation. I think he's a good quarterback, not a great quarterback, not an elite quarterback. And this is where the limitations show up, right? Like, great quarterbacks around the league, when all else is failing around them, find a way to make plays and just overcome everything. And Jalen Hurts is now in an offense this year where the offensive line's not as good, therefore the run game's not as good. And so suddenly his passing deficiencies become more apparent. Now, him not turning the ball over is great, and it's helping them win games this year, and teams who win the turnover battle typically win the game. I get that. However, you can't tell me that you feel confident in this offense right now, and part of that is because deficiencies or shortcomings or a certain conservativeness that Jalen Hurts plays with that completely got swept under the rug a season ago because the run game was so dominant, and so he didn't need to take any of these risks for the offense to look good. Suddenly now, all right, it's working for now. They're winning games, but it's far more likely that this is not a sustainable offense this time around than it was a season ago. So just because the offensive line and the run game was the variable that changed does not mean that Jalen Hurts is free of blame here when it comes to why the offense is struggling. That's my view on it anyway. Welcome back. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Buzz with you. Louis Coco is producing. 215-592-9494. That is the number. How you hop aboard. Talking all things Eagles Cowboys tomorrow. Sitting in for Devin Caney and Ruben Amaro Jr. on a wet Saturday morning. Looks like the rain has stopped. Probably going to be a cloudy one. A nice fall Saturday. About 50 degrees. Marathon weekend here in Philadelphia. A lot of traffic throughout the city, so beware of that. But what we're hoping for is offense. We're hoping for points in tomorrow's game. We're hoping for an offense that shows up and that can shut us up for a week. I would love nothing more than for in this game the offense to explode and prove us wrong, that the Packers and Lions games were just flukes along the way. That's not really what this team has in store for us through the rest of November, down the stretch in December, and into the postseason. I do hope that. I hope that a lot. Am I confident that the past 2 weeks was a fluke? No. Do I feel like emotionally, given everything that's gone on this week, it's more likely than not that this team rises to the moment, this offense rises to the moment tomorrow? I do. And I actually feel like it's more likely that this offense shuts everybody up tomorrow as opposed to the full panic mode, even more so than we've seen this week, that we'd see potentially on Monday morning. So that's our question here to begin the show. What is more likely? The offense shows up, shuts everybody up tomorrow for a week, or the city enters full panic mode. That's where we begin this morning. And in just 1 minute, we'll play some audio from Derek Gunn about this noise and this dysfunction that has, I don't know if I want to say plagued this locker room, because historically they rise to it, but it has certainly grown a presence in this locker room in recent weeks. We'll get to that in just a second. But first, our guy, OG Jason. What's up, Jason?
Hey, Buzz. Doing a lot better today.
Good.
But I think I owe you a serious phone call today.
Why is that? Oh, a serious after last night? Yeah.
Yeah. but what I failed to mention last night about the Eagles is that a lot of people are complaining that we aren't happy with a win, right? So the reason I think we're upset, and I know I've said this before, we know that there's so much potential to be better. And I think that because we're not fulfilling our potential, it's really making people angry. Like, we just want better for our team.
As it should make us angry.
And, you know, we're Philadelphia. We have a reputation of loving our team in such a way that we hate it so much, right? There's nobody that hates the Philadelphia sports team more than Philadelphia fans, but also there's no one who loves a sports team more than Philadelphia fans. And there's nothing wrong with holding our players accountable when we know they're capable of doing more.
Of course. Like, there's no reason why an offense quarterback by Jalen Hurts with Saquon Barkley and A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith and Dallas Goedert, and on paper, one of the most prolific offenses in the league, should have this kind of output.
Like, let's just mention the Sixers real quick during the process, right? So when they were tanking, and we knew they weren't going to win. We knew they didn't have the talent to win. So
right, they told you. But it's the most honest the sports team has ever been. Like, we're not trying to win. We're not don't have any expectations for us.
But they didn't have the talent to win. Now, if they, like, I know we don't have any expectations for the Sixers team this year, but we're having fun watching them. But when we know they have the talent and they tank or they lose, like, we know they can be better. And the frustration is valid. And I think people should continue. I don't think they have problems on the team because of this public nonsense. I think the public nonsense is because they're not performing the way they need to.
I would agree with that, Jason, and I appreciate the call. The guys internally know it. I mean, I said this on the show last night. Like, there wouldn't be complaints from the off. First of all, like, the win is a win crowd, or Jalen Hurts does enough to win, is just so nonsensical in my opinion, because there's no way, like, the offense left the last two games feeling good about their performance. Deep down, they know they got bailed out by the defense, and they did, like, barely just enough, because you can't win the game with zero, but they don't feel like they contributed a hell of a lot in terms of being the reason why they won the game. And who it would be a problem if they honestly felt like they did. That would mean they're not holding themselves to a high enough standard. So they know that they need to be better. Clearly there's frustrations. Clearly there's some frustration within the locker room, perhaps the communication or how things are going. And when guys get frustrated and feel like they're not being heard internally, that's when they go external. And the noise and the pressure raises, and we'll see how this team responds. Historically, they respond pretty well. Jalen Hurts responds pretty well. Nick Sirianni knows how to channel that and respond pretty well. But it's not coming from nowhere. Like, the offensive players this week didn't say, hey, you know what? Things are going great. We're 8-2. We're the number one seed in the NFC. Let me throw a firecracker into the mix just for the hell of it. Like, no, that frustration's coming from somewhere, and I think it's perfectly justified. 215-592-9494. That's the number how you hop aboard. All right, Derek Gunn, as I mentioned, spoke. He said a lot this week in terms of reports of frustrations with Jalen Hurts, with this offense as a whole, and a disconnect perhaps in that locker room. And he spoke about this dysfunction specifically on a podcast with Ray Dinger this week. Here's what D. Gunn had to say.
Winning will mask a lot of things, Ray. When you win, it's Camelot. Everybody's happy. And I don't care how you get those 8 wins. I don't care how you get the number one seed, as long as you get it. And the bottom line, yes, that is. But this is an internal problem. AJ has been telling us about this all season long, about his frustration. He hasn't pinpointed anybody, but we kind of knew who he was talking about. And now it's starting to trickle out in other outlets. And people are like, why are you trying to make up stories? And what? No. Me, Hugh Douglas, other people I know, we're not putting it out here just to get clicks. We're not clickbait people. We're putting it out there because our job, your job, is to honestly analyze everything that we know of that goes on within this team. And this is not an isolated case. There historically have been teams, Ray, as you know, that have been dysfunctional and yet still won and won a lot of games and hoisted that Lombardi trophy. And this team may go on and hoist that Lombardi trophy again for a second time in 2 seasons. But this quarterback situation is something to keep a close eye on, because more and more whispers are growing louder and louder about what he's doing with this offense.
So first of all, anyone who questioned Derek Gunn or Diana Rossini or any very credible journalists in the game right now, I just think are out of their mind. Clearly, where there's smoke, there's fire, and there's a hell of a lot of smoke from some very reputable people. Okay, Derek Gunn is on a podcast with Ray Dinger, might be the furthest thing from clickbait of all time. I just simply think there is validity to what's being said, and I think the point he said there about A.J. Brown might be more forthright about it. He might be the most vocal one about it. He might not even go about it the correct way. I would argue that. Doesn't mean he's the only one who has the thought, right? Like, you know, if you're in a workplace and one person pretty publicly complains about the boss or complains about the leader of your team, and you kind of went around the room and you said, hey, off the record, you agree with what that guy has to say? You might get some people who also agree with it. It's like, hey, I might not have said it myself unprompted. I don't want other people to know I feel this way. But I do feel it. And if you know that you're a player and you can go say to, and Derek Gunn reaches out to you, goes, hey, I'm hearing stuff about the offense. What do you think? And he goes, I'll keep your name out of it. I'll just keep it off the record. I just want to get a sense for it. You might go, yeah, I think AJ's got a point. Like, we could be doing a hell of a lot more. And they should feel that way. You might not. I wouldn't say that you should feel this way about Jalen Hurts. Maybe there's some finger pointing going on behind the scene. And, you know, D. Gunn follows up and goes, I don't know this to be true. I'm just giving a hypothetical. What do you think the problem is? You think the quarterback's holding up his end of the bargain? No, honestly, he's not. Like, he's conservative with the ball. I feel, you know, let's say he reached out to Devontae Smith. I feel like I'm open and could be having an even better season. We don't know what's being said, but that's probably how these conversations perpetuate. And if Derek Gunn's saying it, I choose to believe there's a lot of truth to it, because he's been right far more than he's been wrong over the years. And that's, I think, what's going on here. This offense deep down knows they can be giving more, they need to be giving more, and they should be giving more. And the heat's been turned up on this team. And that's when I think this team actually rises to the moment more often than not. Well, this Eagles offense does not have a lot of satisfaction right now. fan base doesn't have a lot of satisfaction watching this Eagles offense, and who could blame them? I mean, who could blame the fans of this city? I feel it watching every Sunday. Lewis feels it watching every Sunday. We all feel it watching every Sunday or Monday night or this coming Friday when they play on Black Friday. We don't feel satisfaction watching this offense. They go three and out more than anybody in the league. They, you know, if you go to the bathroom at the beginning of the drive, they've punted by the time you get back. I mean, it's bad. It is really, really bad, and it's not a sustainable way to win. And I know they quote unquote find ways to win based upon the fact they keep doing it and the defense keeps bailing them out. That's not a recipe for success long term. You can win week to week like that. It's hard to win a championship doing that week in and week out. This offense, they need to answer the call tomorrow. And I actually think that they will. This feels like a spot where they do it. And A.J. Brown, again, as we played in that Derek Gunn clip there before the last break, A.J. Brown probably speaks for a lot of people in that locker room. You know, maybe not specifically with his personal struggles, but I bet you there's a number of guys on that offense who feel like, all right, maybe collectively our unit's not pulling our weight. I'm sure Saquon Barkley is frustrated with his output so far this season. I'm sure that Devontae Smith, though him and Dallas Goedert are having really strong years, feel like that they could be having even better years if this team just ran more offensive plays or got a first down once in a while. I'm sure there's a lot of frustration in there. And just because A.J. Brown chooses to voice it his way doesn't mean that other people aren't thinking it. So I thought one of the more interesting things he said all week, despite the fact that his clip about, well, I guess Saquon's not the same guy too, or everything else he said kind of caught headlines. One thing that flew under the radar this week was a little 10-second snippet from his media availability the other day asking about, he was asked about whether the Cowboys are desperate to win this game because they obviously need it. They're 4-5-1, I believe it is, going into this game, and they've been bad all year, and they're basically fighting for their playoff lives. Would need a large stretch of wins to try and get into the playoffs at this point. A.J. Brown gets asked about it. Here's what he says.
The Dallas team, they're going to probably come in desperate, right? I mean, and you can bury them with a win, more or less.
We desperate, too. We trying to get it going. We desperate, too. So
that little thing at the end where he goes, we're trying to get it going, that wasn't just a... You know, you hear guys sometimes say, well, we desperate too. If he said this in 2022 after they're scoring 30 points every week and Jalen Hurts is playing great and there was literally nothing to complain about and he said, we're desperate too, you say, all right, man, that's him trying to show face or prove something.
Be facetious.
Like, hey, we're desperate every week. You know, stay hungry, stay humble, that kind of thing. That wasn't that.
No.
That wasn't stay hungry, stay humble. That was like, hey, we're desperate for a good week. Like, we got, you know... We're frustrated with how it looks. Like we're not on the offensive side of the ball, like the defensive side of the locker room, they might be happy with themselves. We're not. Like we're actually desperate to have a good offensive week. We're desperate to play a good game where we don't have to internally or externally complain about it, where we don't have to hear the noise. Again, he doesn't seem to be too bothered by the noise. He peddles a lot of it, but the noise doesn't need to exist. It wouldn't be necessary. Because of how good they played, because of how well they played, I should say. I'm sure that offensive side of the ball is desperate. The Eagles get a win for the past couple of games. I'm sure the offense doesn't really feel like they've had a win. I'm sure those offensive meeting rooms where Kevin Petullo and Nick Sirianni are going over film, I'm sure they haven't felt like post-win meetings. I would venture to say that's probably unlikely. Those defensive meeting rooms, I don't know if Vic Fangio... If it ever feels like a win in there, like he probably, you know, you could allow 0 points and he would find 30 things you did wrong and never smile because he ripped them after this. Remember that he ripped them after the Super Bowl?
Yes.
Right? Like they allowed like 6 real points in that game. And Vic Fangio, a few days after the Super Bowl, told them all what they did wrong. So, all right, whatever. There's no pleasing him. They get what the deal is. On the offensive side of the ball, I'm sure it hasn't felt like wins in those meeting rooms. I'm sure when they all get together and they're going over film and they're sitting in that auditorium at NovaCare, it probably is not a winning type atmosphere on that side of the ball. So the Eagles are desperate too. The Eagles offense in particular is desperate too. You know, maybe not to the extent the Cowboys are because they have a standings desperation. They're like playing for their season. in a way that the Eagles aren't. But on the offensive side, they don't want to go through another week of that. You do not, if you're an offensive player, you probably don't want to show up to work on a Tuesday, I guess it is, in preparation for a Friday game and hear about everything you did so horribly yet again. That would just be my guess. Welcome back, Sports Radio 94 WIP. This is Buzz with you. Louis Coco is behind the glass. 215-592-9494 is the number how you hop aboard. Sitting in for Devin Caney and Ruben Amaro Jr. on this cold, wet Saturday morning. Happy Saturday. Happy weekend, one and all. A Cowboys weekend, 425 tomorrow at AT&T Stadium. No weather, no tough defense, no excuses for this Eagles offense. This needs to be a week where they rise to the occasion. And I actually think that they will. I think it's more likely, and that is our question to begin the show if you're just joining us. What is more, when you call in, tell me, what do you think is more likely? You think this offense shuts everybody up for a week? You think this offense actually gives us something we can be happy about for just, forget big picture for 1 week? Or are we in full panic mode on Monday? Because my goodness, if they lose an ugly game tomorrow in Dallas, things are not going to be good. The noise is going to get louder, both internally and externally. The pressure is going to mount even bigger. And that mountain's going to get just a little bit steeper. If you can't do it in this game against this defense, this offense may have some even bigger problems than we originally anticipated. So that is our question here on the show this morning. 215-592-9494. In just a minute, we'll get to something Jason Kelce said on the morning show on Thursday. Biggest difference he's seeing between this year's offense and last year's offense. So we'll touch on that in a sec. But first, let's go to Stacy in the Northeast. What's up, Stacy?
Yes, good morning, Philadelphia. Praise the Lord.
Hey, what's up?
I need to say that because what I'm going to say is going to probably tick people off.
All right.
But here we are. We're at, this is a golden age, maybe even a platinum age of Eagles football. We're on the precipice of doing something that only a few organizations can be able to say is to win back-to-back Super Bowl championships. And we're whining like babies because of the way it's getting done. Now, granted, the offense doesn't look well. We know that. But we also know that the keys to this beautiful Ferrari offense was handed to a novice, licensed, first-time offensive coordinator who clearly doesn't know what he's doing in game-to-game situations. He's clearly shown that. So we've also had a bunch of injuries on the O-line. We know that. And nobody's going to be able to do anything, no matter how great your skill positions are, if your O-line's not right. But here we go. We vilify AJ, and maybe he deserves some of it, got you, for the way he's complained. But the people that don't have the intestinal fortitude to say publicly what AJ said, we let that gloss over. I don't care. Listen, I don't care if SpongeBob SquarePants is our quarterback, long as we win. A win is a win is a win is a win. I don't care.
So you don't care if they win 2-0 tomorrow?
Done. I don't care. Didn't I just say that?
I know. Stacy, I got that. Do you think, let's use the 2-0 example that's become kind of like a funny extreme here on the station this week. Let's say they do that and the offense looks horrible tomorrow. They the only way they win the game is because the Cowboys have a safety on like their opening drive and the Eagles offense doesn't pick up a single first down all day. And then they win that game and the offense struggles throughout the rest of the season, but they still find a way to get in the playoffs as either the number one or the number two seed. And then first round of the playoffs, their offense doesn't rise to the occasion and they lose 20-6 or 20-13 or something like that, do you think it would then be fair to criticize that maybe the offense was never actually good enough to repeat?
First of all, you're doing a lot of iffing. We're not guaranteed the next 5 seconds of living. So
okay, I got
instead
that.
Instead of that, let's try to so deal with the problems that some of the problems we have at hand are at hand because of coaching, because of injuries, and because of the fact that we're defending champions taking everybody's best shot.
Yeah, I know, but even the Cowboys' defense best shot isn't
okay. So,
isn't that good? It's not good.
So what? That's the impression that we want to take. No matter who it is, no matter what they seem to look like, when they get on the field, you have to respect them as an NFL, as a legitimate NFL opponent. Doesn't matter who it is.
Okay, but some NFL, not all NFL opponents are created equal. I get those guys are pros and get paid too, but there's no reason why this Eagles offense should not have their way with this Cowboys defense.
That's our opinion as Eagles fans.
It should be anyone's opinion as a football observer. That's not me wearing green goggles.
Again, I say to you, sir, you cannot underrate. We cannot underrate any opponent. We have to play the game. You play, and by the way, Herm Edwards said it best. You play to win the game.
Yes, of course
you're not
you do.
About
Hello?
Points.
You
you're
play not to about, win the game.
You're not playing for style points. That's why big Fangio was so upset when we won the Super Bowl but gave up 2 late touchdowns. That's style points. But the point was and still is and will always be win, period.
Thank you, Stacey. I appreciate the call. Thank you, Rocky, for just saying that all – or Mickey, I guess, for just saying that winning is the most important thing and you play to win the game. We know that.
But what I don't understand about the call is he sounds frustrated to me. He was talking about Petullo. He's like, he's frustrated about Kevin Petullo.
Right. Why? Kevin Petullo has done enough to win, right? Right? Like, he's an 8-2 offensive coordinator. Why should we complain? And I don't care if they win 2-0 because we're not guaranteed the next 5 seconds. And I didn't mean to mock. He sounded like a spiritual, well-intended individual, and that's great. But I'm talking about a likely scenario. Let's just assume that the sun comes up tomorrow and we're still all in good health by January and February, and the NFL season plays itself out. I think it's quite likely that the Eagles' offense doesn't rise to the occasion and they still might even be the number one seed or the number two seed in the NFC and find themselves in a home playoff game and the other team's going to score a point. Maybe they play the Rams again or the Bucks again, who get yet another crack at them. And one of those offenses is going to score a lot of points and the Eagles offense is going to be asked to score a lot of points to help save this season. And if they don't win, if the Eagles offense does not rise to the occasion in that moment, then all the people who said a win is a win, I don't care how it looks, will be forced to say, wow, this really came out of nowhere. Because you were happy with all of the winning until it didn't happen. But maybe if you just had taken a step back and looked at a little bit of nuance, you might have actually seen this was a trend that they were hanging on by a thread the entire time, and then they ran out of slack. Like, that's also a possibility, too. And I say to you respectfully, Stacey, that I understand that the Cowboys are professionals. I'm not saying that the Eagles team, members of the roster, should take the Cowboys lightly. But me as a fan, I'm allowed to look at certain opponents and say they're not created equal. Playing the Packers in Lambeau or playing the Lions last week in a windy game on Sunday Night Football is not the same thing as playing the Cowboys, who have struggled to stop like everyone all year, who struggled to stop the New York Giants in week 2 or struggled to stop the Arizona Cardinals a couple weeks ago on Monday Night Football. I'm allowed to say that the Eagles offense should have their way with them, even though that Cowboys defense is full of professionals and full of guys who also get paid. I think that's an okay thing to say, but again, I'm entitled to my opinion. Stacey certainly entitled to his. 215-592-9494. All right, Jason Kelce on the morning show this week talking about the biggest difference he sees with the offense this year and the offense last year. A lot of people saying, you know, they're defending Super Bowl champs. You know, cut them some slack. All right, the difference is last year, the defending Super Bowl champions had something they were good at on offense, that was running the ball. They're not good at it anymore. And Jason Kelce kind of spoke to that on the morning show this week.
The biggest thing to me watching it that is the difference this year's offense is that the running game is just non-existent. I don't think people understand how much that was a huge proponent as to why they won a Super Bowl last year and to why we've had success offensively under Nick Sirianni. Jalen's ability to run the ball, the threat that he has had, and I know everybody wants to go under center, do all these under center play actions, but the stuff in the gun, that's what we've had success doing a lot of.
Respectfully, Jason Kelce, I love you, one of my favorite all-time Eagles. I think people do understand how much the run game was factored into winning that Super Bowl last year. No, it didn't help them in the game itself, but who could possibly argue that that wasn't the number one reason they got to the Super Bowl in the first place? Saquon Barkley won Offensive Player of the Year. He ran for like 100 yards weekly. He went for 200-plus yards in a game at SoFi. He ran over every opponent he faced a season ago. He was great. And this offensive line was great. And it felt like that offense had so much synergy and had just had that to rely on. And it took until the Super Bowl when Steve Spagnuolo basically sold out and said, all right, we're going to slow down the Eagles' run game here, make them beat us with the pass. And they did, right? And Jalen Hurts did rise to that moment. But the reason they got there was the run game. He was great. The run in the snow, the run against the Commanders, like, he was the Eagles' MVP last year, and he was the runner-up for MVP in the whole damn league. So, of course, that's the biggest difference. And it's okay to say that this team who won the Super Bowl a year ago, and now they're 8-2 now, they're two different teams. They're two different entities. Nick Sirianni, at the beginning of the season, tried to turn the page on last year's Super Bowl title as much as any coach I've seen in modern history. Like, I don't care what we accomplished a year ago. I don't care that we won the Super Bowl. This is a new team. This is a new look roster and a new look team with a new identity. And this new look offense has no identity the way that last year did. Of course, that's the difference. Of course, we're allowed to be concerned. And anyone who's just saying a win is a win because they're physically scoring more points, ask yourselves how they're doing it. It's not pretty. It's not good. It's not sustainable. It's okay to say they won, but. Right, you don't have to be Herm Edwards and say you play to win the game. This is not like the Cowboys who need to
fight. Hello, play to win the game.
Love that clip. It's not the Dallas Cowboys tomorrow need to find like any way to win the game. They should be happy with a 2-0 win tomorrow. They're playing for their playoff lives. The Eagles are not in that position. They have bigger goals than Week 12 against the Cowboys. They have a goal of repeating as Super Bowl champions, and that requires, generally speaking, having some sort of offensive identity that allows you to score points in big games. And that's what the Eagles don't have right now. So, Jason Kelce, I think people do understand how big the run game was a year ago, but he nailed it on the head in terms of like that. That's, of course, the biggest difference. But you don't have to be a football genius to see that. 215-592-9494. Let's go to Doug in North Philadelphia. What's up, Doug?
Hey, man. Good morning.
Hey.
Now, like I told you, a producer, to me, you remember last season when the Eagles played the Carolina Panthers, and it was a really ugly game. The Dolphins in defense was lackadaisical. When that reporter asked A.J. Brown, like, what was the concern problem? A.J. Brown said passing. As soon as I heard him say that, I was like, oh, boy. All of a sudden, they ran the table and won the Super Bowl. But now this season, oh, boy, I said.
Well, they didn't run. They lost at the Commanders last year in Week 16.
That's right. But this year.
But they were. But just really quick, because I related tomorrow's game to the Steelers game a year ago. Who they play the following week after that Carolina game was the Steelers,
right.
And the passing offense looked great.
Right, yeah. But don't know. They got all this talent. I said, oh, I don't know. It boggles my mind, actually. And I say to myself, I hope the Eagles just run over Dallas tomorrow, because I don't want to hit the Cowboys fans' mouth, because I know a lot of them. And I say to myself, I hope they can do something just to get this thing rolling again.
Yeah, the Cowboys fans aren't as mouthy as they used to be. It doesn't really ring the same when you're 4-5-1 and haven't won a Super Bowl or even been to an NFC championship this century. You know what I mean? Like, and the Eagles have won 2 Super Bowls, so that, you know, the no Super Bowls or argument has been dead for a while, obviously. Like, but who cares about them anymore? We got bigger fish to fry.
Oh, yeah. And then when I hit the sound bites about what D-Gun says, I go, oh boy, I hate this. Actually, I don't like it.
The drama?
Yeah, but I say, well, as long as they win. But see, I don't want them to win 13-10, 7-10-7. It's like, oh boy, here goes the grumbling again.
Right, like we're allowed to want to see. Like, I won't be happy with an ugly win tomorrow. A physical win, a 2-0 or a 13-10 or a 10-7 win in tomorrow's game, statistically, does it move them one game closer to the number one seed, to clinching the number one seed? Yes, it does. Like, all they don't. We all know that at the end of the season, it does not matter how you won the games. They just tally up your total number of wins, and that is what matters. However, that does not mean that our eyes can't tell us they struggled against the Dallas defense. Oh boy, that might be a problem in a playoff game.
Yeah, right. Right, that's true. All right, that's it. Have a nice show.
Thank you, Doug. I appreciate it. A very amicable call there. Kind of a bit of a change up to what Stacey was bringing.
Doug was great.
Doug, very love Doug. Call again. I appreciate that.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
215-592-9494. In just a second, we'll hit on something Jalen Hurts said this week in response to the noise and the rat poison, as they call it, down in Alabama. He knows how to handle this media as well as anybody. We'll touch on that in a second. But first, want to get to William in Robbinsville. What's up, William?
How you doing? Just wanted to check in about AJ. You know, I don't know if the journalists, when they go in the locker rooms, have certain rules and everything they follow. I mean, they could certainly talk to all the players about their personal statistics all day long, and that's probably kind of boring for the listeners. But right now, AJ on the career wide receiver yardage list is around 140. If he was to play another 5 or 6 years and average, you know, 1,000, 1,100 yards, you know, obviously with 17 games, that's certainly realistic, even though you'll see some drop off here probably. You know, he could get into the top 20 potentially. You know, that puts him into the Hall of Fame conversation with a Super Bowl ring and all, you know, all these kind of numbers. Why isn't anyone asking if this really is the problem, that he wants his numbers? He's already got the money. I mean, obviously, everyone always wants more money. Where in this equation is his desire to accumulate statistics? Why isn't anyone asking him that?
Well,
the camera right in his face.
William, I think that they actually have. So there was I played it on the show either a week or two ago, but Jeff McClain might have said it with Rob and Mike, or maybe he was on the morning show. I forget which show he said it on, but spoke to the fact that in training camp, A.J. Brown, he was injured. He only spoke once during training camp, I believe, but made it very, very clear in his first media availability of the season. I don't know what the exact question was, but something to the effect of like how last season went. You know, you won the Super Bowl. What was that like for you? What are your goals for this season? And A.J. Brown was very candid about the fact that he is looking for personal numbers. Making the Hall of Fame is a goal of his. And having personal accolades does matter to him. He wants to be part of the reason why this team wins, not just along for the ride. So I think he actually has been asked that. And for everything anyone could ever say about A.J. Brown, he hasn't been like cryptic about that. He's actually been pretty straightforward about the fact that he does envision himself in Canton one day. He wants to put up numbers. I don't think he feels like he's maximizing his full potential to do that currently in this offense. He probably largely feels like that's attributed to Jalen Hurts, and it frustrates him. And that may be why we're headed to a divorce at the end of the season. That's a conversation for another day. But I do think he has been asked that, and I think he's answered it accordingly based upon what you just said.
All right. Thanks a lot.
All right, William. I appreciate the call. Wow, two agreeable calls in a row.
Yeah, thanking you. Wow.
Might be a WIP first. Wow. Jalen Hurts this week, speaking of the quarterback, was obviously asked quite directly, hey, you surprised about all this frustration coming out? Does this catch you off guard that there's all this noise and a lot of it's directed at you? Jalen Hurts, of course, he understands what playing quarterback in Philadelphia, that this comes with the territory. Take a listen.
I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised by anything. I mean, you know, this is kind of the nature of the position, like I said. But, you know, I put my energy and I put my focus on trying to go out there and do my best and trying to learn, trying to build, trying to take in the things that I can to improve. And so, you know, I've said this before about winning and success and all those things. Like, that doesn't do you anything in the present. It's only an experience that you can lean on as you go forward. And so, yeah, you lean on all those successes. You lean on all the trials. You lean on all the different things that you've experienced. You use them. Ultimately, you know, it's about how you navigate what's in front of you and how you respond to these things. And so I think the response is more important than anything. It's about pushing forward, about finding ways to grow. You know, there's always going to be something.
I've long said this about athletes in general and Jalen Hurts in particular. Number one, the biggest lie that athletes tell consistently in the year 2025 is that I don't pay attention to the noise. It's garbage. It's BS. We know that they're all very, very plugged in. How could you not be? I mean, think about it. If media was consistently talking about you and your performance at your job, don't you think you'd probably be somewhat plugged in to an extent? It might not be good for your mental health, but the temptation, it's so accessible. All you got to do is unlock your phone and you can go on Twitter and see what people are saying about you. Instagram, you could turn on this station. It's all just so there and you have to actively avoid it.
Or even if you're not on it, people are telling you.
Right. It's really, you kind of have to go like full LeBron, like zero dark 30 and just like not have a cell phone. Like go full Ray Dinger. Like, I don't have a phone. Don't go on the internet or watch TV or talk to people. It's impossible. And it's really, really impossible. Jalen Hurts, as well as probably any modern-day athlete, keeps himself away from that stuff. And I think he hears some of it. I think he knows how to channel some of it. Obviously, he gets asked about it each and every week. Like, hey, there are frustrations here, there are frustrations there. You can't escape it entirely when you're quarterback of the Eagles. You got to face these questions week in and week out. However, it does not seem to impact him or affect him. Like that, in addition to rising in big games, like that's Jalen Hurts' best attribute, is that he just is so thick-skinned from playing at Alabama, playing at Oklahoma, being a big-time high school prospect in Texas, and to now playing in the Eagles. He's always played in like the biggest stages, the biggest limelight that you could ever ask of him, and it doesn't seem to, nothing ever seems to faze him. Like, and that is a really, really good thing. I would guess a lot of quarterbacks probably could not handle these types of situations emotionally as well as Jalen Hurts does. I just don't think he would. And so I think he gave a pretty honest answer there. I don't think he's surprised by the frustrations at all. I think deep down he knows this offense isn't as good as he wants it to look. He holds himself to quite a high standard. I think he probably has a pretty good pulse of that locker room. He's a little... We've gotten the sense over the years that maybe he's a little standoffish. Maybe he's not Mr. Buddy-Buddy, invite all the guys over to have a drink or for the barbecue, and maybe he's not best friends with everyone. But he's a smart guy who I think knows when people are frustrated, and in particular frustrated with him. So I thought that was a pretty candid answer and speaks to a larger attribute of Jalen Hurts, which is that he knows how to channel in the energy and channel in the negative feedback when he needs to, but he also knows how to block it out probably better than anybody else in the modern game, and certainly a lot less plugged in than most modern-day athletes, though it's impossible to miss it all. Welcome back. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Buzz with you. Louis Coco is behind the glass, 215-592-9494. That is the number how you hop aboard on a Saturday morning. Hope everyone is enjoying the start of their weekend. Probably more of an indoor day than an outdoor day. And again, I know a lot of people are running the half marathon today, full marathon tomorrow. Actually, pretty nice weather to run. I'm not a runner myself, but this is like, once the rain stops, like it's not too warm, it feels a little cool, like running when it's a little wet, a little damp. It's probably kind of nice out there.
I think they say it's better for you to run in the cold. Like air intake
hot.
Is like thick. Well, that too, but I think the actual intake of
it's
air is
oxygen.
Easier. Well, maybe not that it's better oxygen
necessarily,
but like hot air is more like sticky and humid, but if it's cold, it goes in a little better.
We were talking during the break. We can actually see the half marathon course. We're at 2400 Market Street, but if you look out the window, you can see Walnut Street, and the half marathon course runs along Walnut. I believe the full marathon course will as well. So to maybe tomorrow is probably, I'll get in a little too late for it for the game, but for whoever's here tomorrow morning can probably see the full marathon going by. I have a few friends running it this weekend. So best of luck to everyone out there. And we were talking, there's enough people running the Philly half marathon today and the marathon tomorrow. Probably someone out there listening to the Odyssey app, you know, running. So maybe if you did run, if I'll say this for the remainder of the show, if you did run this morning or you're out there on the course and you are listening to us, call in. I'll get you right in. I want to hear what it was like out there. And if you were, especially if you claim to have listened to us during the run, like instead of listening to the cliche Rocky playlist or whatever pumps you up while you run. If you're listening to us while you run, you're at the top of the list. I'll get you in before the end of the show. I would love to hear from you. 215-592-9494. Of course, we've been talking all morning long about this game tomorrow, Eagles-Cowboys. In the next segment, Lewis and I will give our score predictions. So, Lewis, if you haven't already landed on one, I got to land on a score here, too. I have a ballpark in mind. Haven't landed on an exact score for tomorrow. So we will give that in the next segment. And in just a minute, I want to get to something Nick Sirianni said. Actually, a question for Merrill Reese, who was in his press conference just a couple of days ago. But first, I want to go to Pedro, who I think is frustrated with this Eagles offense and would love to see them shut everybody up tomorrow. What's up, Pedro?
What's going on? How you doing?
Doing great.
All right. I want to get your opinion on Eagles, well, just the quarterback winning. What is your definition on that? Because –
as you look back in the schedule.
Wait, a definition of a quarterback winner?
Yeah, like a winning quarterback. What is your definition on that?
Well, by technical definition, it is a quarterback who wins games. But I think more than anything else, it's a quarterback who is the reason. And I'm sorry, Pedro, I'm getting a little bit of feedback, so I got to let you go there. It's a quarterback who is a big part of the reason why you win games. You know, Jalen Hurts is a winner in terms of that. You know, he's been on a lot of winning teams at Alabama, and I know he got benched in the national championship, but he has some national championships on his resume. He has obviously been the Super Bowl MVP. He does rise up in big games, so I think he knows how to win. I don't think he's scared of any moment, but a true winning quarterback is a quarterback who leads you to winning, and right now I don't think he's the reason the Eagles are being led to victory. I don't think anyone on that offense is. I think it's been more so the defense, and so because that's how I would define a winning quarterback. Now, I teased this before the break. Nick Sirianni, we've come a long way, Lewis, from I think the evolution of Nick Sirianni as a coach and as like an emotional leader in games like this has really evolved. You remember back in 2021, he went to the podium wearing a Beat Dallas shirt that looked like it was purchased off like the Ocean City Boardwalk. Now, Merrill Reese, who has called probably, I think, 1 billion Eagles-Cowboys games in his career and can speak to this rivalry as well as anyone, he jumped in on the press conference. I think this was yesterday. Asking Nick Sirianni what it's like to rise up to a big Dallas rivalry week kind of game. And Nick Sirianni's been answering this question the same way all season long. Take a listen.
Nick, in a game like this, which is a division game and it's very, very emotional, do you have to continually emphasize don't retaliate, don't cost you 15 yards?
This is, I know this is Dallas, and I know what this game means to the entire city, and I know what it means to their city. But if we get more up for this game or start coaching differently for this game than we do for any other game, then we didn't do our jobs the other games. And that's, y'all asked me that about the Lions in response to, you know, their comments of, hey, this is a must win. We treat every game the exact same. So we're going to coach our ass off every single game. We're going to prepare our ass off every single game, regardless of the circumstances. And because there's always going to be a circumstance, and, you know, whether it's you lost to them the year before, that you beat them the year before, or it's Dallas, or, you know, it's a primetime game, or you name it, this guy's going home to his city or whatever it is, right? Our job is to be completely consistent. I got to be consistent with the messages and the things that I require from them. And we expect that same consistency from everybody. I expect that same consistency from everybody on a week to week basis. I think that's one thing that can contribute to sustained success is consistency. I come to find that and love that about our players and our coaches, is that consistency of preparing for every team the same.
The emotional maturity and the evolution of Nick Sirianni's emotional maturity as a head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles is one of the reasons why I believe in this Eagles team and this Eagles offense specifically, to shut everybody up tomorrow and rise to a moment like this. Because I thought they were the more probably emotionally mature and emotionally level team going to that Lions game last week. He referenced it there in the clip. Aiden Hutchinson said, we had this game circled on the calendar all season long. And meanwhile, for the Eagles, it's like just another week. And Merrill asked him there, like, oh, do you get up for Dallas? You know, do you emphasize the importance of not having penalties? Now, that should be emphasized, by the way. Jalen Carter got tossed before a second ran off the clock last time. I think that was just as likely to happen in a non-Dallas game as a Dallas game. I don't think it was because he was playing the Cowboys, per se. I think that's just because Jalen Carter needs to restrain himself better, generally speaking. But I do think that Nick Sirianni is poised and carries himself in a very emotionally mature, business-like way. Very different from when he first got here, and he would have played into the Dallas week stuff, I think, a little bit more. And I think that's part of the reason why the Eagles just are so business-like and rise to the occasion in moments where they need to. And I think Jalen Hurts is kind of wired that same way. I think it's more likely the Eagles' offense shuts everybody up tomorrow as opposed to we go into panic mode for yet another week. Thought that was worth playing because the evolution of Sirianni is just fascinating when you take his 5 years as Eagles head coach into consideration there. Welcome back. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Buzz with you. Louis Coco is behind the glass. 215-592-9494 is the number. How you hop aboard here on a Saturday morning. Filling in for Devin Caney and Ruben Amaro Jr. Happy to be sitting in for them. Believe they will be back next week on Thanksgiving weekend. I will be on next. So tomorrow we have the game at 425. I will not be on. I believe my next hosting spot, I'll be on Friday. On a Black Friday, I will be, we got the Eagles game at 3 o'clock, the Amazon Black Friday game, the third annual edition of that. And then we'll have post-game, and then I'm on at 9 o'clock that night. So the next time I'll be on, we'll have two more Eagles games to react to, both tomorrow and the game. I'll be producing during the week. I'll be with the afternoon show guys on Monday. But next time I'll be back as a host will be Friday night at 9 o'clock. So looking forward to that. A few other things from the sports world to keep an eye on this weekend. College football game days today is at Oregon. 15 USC at number 7 Oregon. That's at 3:30 on CBS. And yes, that is a Big Ten game. So that's probably the biggest day, biggest game in college. For the two people who care, Temple football is hosting their final home game today against number 24 North Texas. Temple 9.5-point underdogs. Temple and first-year head coach Casey Keeler, they were 5-3 entering the month of November. They needed one win this entire month to reach bowl eligibility for the first time in 6 years since my senior year in the fall of 2019. They really might have blown it here. Blew a game to Navy back on October 11th on a 50-yard touchdown in the final minute and then allowed a two-point conversion for the loss. I went to the game on November 1st against ECU. They got blown out like 45-14, I think it was. They have this game today, and then the season finale on Black Friday at 22 North Texas. So I have a real fear they're going to finish exactly 5-7. I'm sure I will complain to Rob Ellis about that in the little crossover we have in studio between shows. Penn blew out Drexel last night to earn a spot in the Big Five championship game in college basketball. Temple plays at Villanova for the other spot on Monday, December 1st. And then Saturday, December 6th at Xfinity Mobile Arena, it'll be Drexel LaSalle in the fifth-place game, St. Joe's versus the loser of Temple Nova in the third-place game, and of course the winner will take on Penn for the title and nightcap. And then other NFL games to watch tomorrow. You got Steelers-Bears in the 1 o'clock window. Interested to see how the Bears fare. By the way, Eagles the only team playing on there are three games on Thanksgiving and one game on Black Friday. And every single team, the other seven teams playing in either of those games, all at home tomorrow. The Eagles, the only one going on the road. Obviously, Dallas hosts a Thanksgiving game every year. The Lions, the Eagles just played home tomorrow, home for Thanksgiving as well. Lions taking on the Packers at 1 o'clock this year. That used to be a 12:30 spot for years. Chiefs, Cowboys, Chiefs are at home tomorrow. Hosting the Colts in a huge game for them. Like, they absolutely need that game. Ravens, Bengals are both home tomorrow. That's the nightcap on Thanksgiving. And then Bears, Eagles. Bears at home tomorrow against the Steelers. Eagles on the road. Vikings, Packers, significant. I expect the Packers to win that game. They're favored by about a touchdown at home in the 1 o'clock window. Colts, Chiefs, I mentioned. Bucks, Rams is the game of the day on Sunday Night Football. Huge NFC playoff implications there. Teams, the Eagles have beaten both of them, obviously. And then Panthers, 49ers, a battle of a 6-5 and 7-4 team on Monday Night Football. So those are other games to watch here. All right, Louis, before we get out of here, we both have to give our score prediction. I'll let you go first. What are you feeling tomorrow night in Dallas?
Yeah, I think it's going to be an Eagles win, but there's going to be some sort of stupid safety on either side. 23-19 Eagles win.
Okay. I'm going 30-20. I think, as I said, the Eagles offense, I think they show up in this game. I don't think it'll look fluid the entire time, but I think they find a way to get to that 30-point mark. I think we feel, again, good about them for a week. I did want to shout out, so Jeff from the airport tweeted at me. First of all, I appreciate you listening, Jeff, but he tweeted at me that I haven't done my homework because I'm repeating that Dallas is a bad defense. They've traded for a couple defensive tackles, gotten players off IR. That's true. They have added to this defense. I still don't think that makes them, that takes them from first to really even respectable. And this Eagles offense is certainly good enough, in my opinion, to still show up in a game like this. So I think they find a way to put up 30 tomorrow. I'm feeling it. feels like that kind of spot for the Eagles. I think the Cowboys defense, Dak, again, usually plays well. He's never lost a game at home against an NFC East opponent. I think it's close late. I think it's relatively close late. And then maybe the Eagles up 23-20, something like that. Get a dagger, get a game icing touchdown, couple minutes to go. That's what keeps coming to me. That's the type of game I envision tomorrow at AT&T Stadium. So I'm going with a 30-20 Eagles win. All right. Thank you so much to everyone who tuned in, everyone who called in. I'm sorry, callers on hold. I could not get to everyone. Stay on the line. I'm sure Rob Ellis and Mike Sielski will get to you. Be sure to stay tuned for them. Again, we're sitting in for Devin Caney and Ruben Amaro Jr. here on the show this morning. They will be back next week. Thank you so much to Louis Coco for producing. He'll be sticking around for Rob and Mike. Stay tuned for them. Again, Rob Ellis, Mike Sielski coming up next here on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of the Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
At Lowe's, loyalty is royalty. With Christmas right around the corner, treat yourself for less during the holiday season. Rewards members get early online-only access to Black Friday doorbuster deals on Thanksgiving Day, like the Hisense side-by-side fridge, just $799. Not a member? Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.